When's the last course you guys played?
I played West Fork twice today. The first round, I shot my personal best by five there. I shot seven down, no bogeys. And then I went to do some stuff, and I was like, that had to be a fluke. So I couldn't take it. I went back by myself and played again. And this time I was seven down with five holes to go.
I
bogeyed a hole, and I was very upset. It was like a 12-foot putt. I just dinked it off the tray. I'm like, oh my, I can't believe it.
So
I went to six down. I had four holes left. I made two pars in a row, and I was like, I got to birdie the last two holes to shoot eight down. And I was playing through some people at this point because it was just slow. What happened was I started on four, played all the way to 18, went back to one. I had to play one, two, and three. So when I got to two, there's somebody on the tee box, and they're like, you can play through. And I'm like, told them I got to birdie two holes, or I'm going to quit playing disc golf forever. I'm going to leave my bag by the basket. If I don't birdie it, you guys can have all my stuff. And they're like, so it was a 300-foot hole. I took out a new Star Wraith that I had, put it way out to the right, hyzered back in, and landed and stopped about 8 feet from the basket. So I was pretty excited. I ran all the way down to it and made the putt. I was like, yay! And they were like, yay! And so then I went to two. Another, it was a little bit, maybe 320, and I threw this Pro Wraith that I just got. It's just beat up. It's so old. I don't know where it came from, but it's mine. And I threw it out on this flex. It flexed out to the right and kind of came back a little hard, sat down pin high about 28 feet. So I had to make a 28 footer, and I did. Slammed it in for the ninth birdie and shoot eight under. So I got to shoot 15 down in one of my courses.
Nice. Today. That's a nerve-wracking 28-foot putt, I bet.
It was, but it's just this magical thing. I knew I was going to be on tonight. And I was like, right. I need to do it for the fans of the, oh no.
Yeah. Did you get it on video? Otherwise.
I did send out pictures immediately following. Someone questioned my round time because, you know, Yuta says it took
It's like 54
minutes.
Yeah.
And so someone said, interesting that you got around in 58 minutes. How'd you do that? I didn't type on there because I wasn't playing with a guy I played with earlier. That took me an hour and 20 minutes to get around with him. I just didn't say anything, but I ran. I made nine birdies. How long does it take to play if you make nine birdies? And I was just like walking down to the basket and going dink and then moving on. It was awesome.
Yeah. Easy.
Yeah. Tomorrow I'm going to shoot like 14 over. Pretty sure it's so.
Yeah.
It had to be a fluke.
Or maybe you'll shoot all 15 down in one.
I can see you shooting like 18 down somewhere.
Yeah. After today, I know the first round where I shot seven down, I missed three putts inside the circle. That should have been 10. It's disc golf, man. There was wind blowing. You can't birdie 18 holes if you're me. I mean, other people can, but it's like, I'm pretty happy with nine. It's really good.
Yeah, no, me too. Nine anywhere is nice.
Yeah, so I'm excited. And we have a brand new course, dude, that just opened like a couple of months ago, but they put concrete pads in last week, and they're like, I don't know, they gotta be 6 feet wide and at least 15 feet, if not 20 feet long. Perfectly flat on every hole. It's every hole is like 240 feet, except there's like one hole that's 500, but every other hole's 240, but not one hole plays 240 feet. It's so deceptive. The lines you got to take to get there, the depth behind the baskets on some holes, you have bushes. To play crazy golf bushes, terrible, terrible, evil bushes.
There's a small lake.
I decided to donate one of my favorite custom stamp G-Star Destroyers to that course. For some reason, I'm playing with Kyle. And we're doing great. We're fine. We're almost done. There's like three holes left. And I decide I'm going to throw a left-handed shot around this bush. And I threw
first left-handed shot all day.
Yeah. I hadn't thrown lefty, and I pull out the Destroyer and I grip locked it so far left, and it went about 350 into Well, it went into a swamp with 8-foot high reeds in out of bounds property, you know, across the boundary of a fence. It was never like we threw it and we're like, oh, it's one of those times, you know, it's not like you're looking for it. Like, we pretended to look for it. We walked over there. We were like, nope. It took about 45 seconds to give up. We're like, no.
You know, when I talked to, it was Eddie, right? Mm-hmm. He said that that those people are like, shoot first, talk later.
Oh yeah, yeah. This is like major gun country, like in Colorado, you can just shoot. I think some places, if somebody comes in your house, you can shoot them. That's okay. In Colorado, you can just shoot about anybody, anywhere that you would. Like, if they're on a ranch out by your place, you can just shoot them. Like, he was coming. He was coming to the house.
Yeah, it's pretty. Yeah, you gotta protect your your farm.
No, it's not true, but. No, but we do respect the private property of the disc golf course, because the city gave us the course. They bought all the baskets. They put all the sleeves in. They poured all the concrete for the tee pads.
And then they're going to put in trees.
30 mature trees to create mandos. So basically,
you're saying that you threw it into Shrek's swamp, because that's what Shrek would do, protect the swamp.
It was pretty bad. It wasn't like a swamp. It was a swamp, but...
It's a swamp.
It wasn't like a green, like neon green, like swamp, like you would see in a horror film. It was more like a...
It's not like a Scooby-Doo swamp.
It was like marshlands and...
Right. Nasty and not fun to play in.
Lucky for me, I have a closet full of Destroyers, so it wasn't like my favorite disc. Otherwise, I would have been so sad, because this truly... No one's going to find it and call me. No one's going to return that one. It's gone. And so
can you go ahead and just play on the guitar for a minute, just so then you can get it out of your hands if you want?
Okay, sure. All right, here we go. And we'll start with the big pick slide.
That was a little much for our intro music, I think.
No, that was fucking way better than our intro music.
If you want to use that,
it's like $15,000.
It's only $375. But yeah, I'll take Venmo, Zelle, Cash App. Thanks for letting me play, guys.
Appreciate you.
It's exciting. Eric, what's the most interesting thing that's happened to you in the last 7 days?
I put on my first tournament on Saturday.
Okay, and?
That was interesting.
Let's talk about it.
Did it go well?
It went fine. I just don't enjoy it. I can't enjoy playing and being like the director at the same time. That was
How many pars did you have?
Just like 30-something, 35 or something. Still.
That's a lot, though.
Yeah. So, was it sanctioned?
No, just unsanctioned. Just 15 to play. And I just did it because we've had one every year since they pushed it to 18 holes. But
what do you have to do to get it sanctioned? Because we played in these like flex tournaments every single Friday, every week of the year, and they're all sanctioned with like points and stuff. What do you have to do?
I'd have to be like a sanctioned member or whatever, like a tournament, like a sanctioned tournament director.
You should do that.
You can do your like test set.
And then at first there were certain rules, like the course has to have. I don't know how true they are, but like right now we share a basket for one hole, and I don't know if that would disqualify it, but I'm trying to wait until we can get the...
All you have to do is take your basket and
practice basket.
Take your practice basket.
But I've also heard that unless there's a case of an emergency, all the baskets are supposed to be the same.
Nope. How the West was won, they always do at least.
Yeah, absolutely. Those are sanctioned rounds.
Temporary baskets.
Always. Yeah.
Every time.
Interesting.
I don't know. I'm not that worried about it yet.
How did you do in the
just
tournament?
Dabbling my feet into it. I didn't really enjoy it. we'll see if I want to continue with it or if I want to let someone else kind of take the reins.
Was it just 18 holes stroke play? Just
yeah, score. 18. Well, two rounds, so 36 holes all day.
So you had to do all the scoring and repairing, or did everybody just play the same group the second round, or what?
I paired like some people who didn't have like group. I kept some friends like friend group together because they were like kind of shooting similar anyway.
Right. Sure.
But, like I made a lead card for each division.
Okay, that's cool. Yeah, so that's fine. If you have a lead card, then you let your friends keep playing together, it'd be great.
We had this guy who showed up who I've heard people complain about him before, but I never met him. And he, I don't want to say any names, but he.
But everybody knows who he is that's listening right now.
Yeah, probably.
Go ahead, tell us what color hat was he wearing?
The field by like six strokes in Am 3. And
well, that didn't name any names for sure.
So, I mean, you can't go find the scores. Like, there's
that's
no,
true.
No way to find the scores. The
players that were there know exactly who you're talking about.
Oh yeah, I mean, I'm sure the players there probably didn't like him anyway. But
so he
goes into hole four, which is a par three. It's the last one, and it finishes on a long putt. And he throws away four strokes because he knows he has a six stroke lead just to win that long putt. So that was frustrating. That was frustrating for me. I don't know. Because he's already going to win a bunch of money.
That's true. That's
like unsportsmanlike.
Well, so right? I was a golf professional at a country club as an assistant pro for a decade. And I ran a lot of tournaments of members that would do the same kind of stuff. Like they've padded their handicap up to win their division, and they can win their division early. Like if it's a match play event, you can win it like on the 14th hole, and then they just go out and make triple bogeys on the last three holes to keep their score, you know, up. So their handicap doesn't come down, and there's that kind of stuff going on, you know, everywhere. Cause people
like if the guy didn't win anything at all, you know, if you're going to lose like everything, then sure, maybe make a couple strokes to try to make that long putt.
Absolutely.
But when you know you're already walking away with a few prizes.
Yeah, you can take in everything from everybody.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, well, that's what we try to do, dude. We play tags, and I'm like, I want the ace pot and both closest to the pins. That's the only reason I'm there. You know, in those days, I can come away with like $22. It's like, I'm a pro. I'm getting paid to play disc golf right now. And then I always give it back to the community. I go straight to the closest disc golf store and buy plastic and with all of it. So it doesn't last more than a few hours. So it's right back in the game.
Yeah. Way to go.
There's, you know, without Will, they would shut down. So.
Yeah, Fly Green would not be open, even though it's the biggest disc golf store in America, probably. They would not be open if it wasn't for my contribution the last 2 years, I can promise you.
So you're just going to change your name to like Will Green or?
Will Green. How about Fly Smith? That's it. Fly Smith. My U-Disc username is Ann, and my last name is spelled H-Y-Z-A-H. And so when she calls us out on the tee, she'll say, on hole four, oh no, Anheuser. So, it's fantastic. So then we have another guy who is Z Big Heiser, and
that's good. Yeah,
with Garrett is a G-Star All Weather. Some great U-Disc usernames.
Mine's just Eric. So
sometimes I'll change mine to Why Do You Suck? So it'll be like on the tee. Oh no, Why Do You Suck?
Yeah, whatever. That's pretty like, good.
What's happening?
That's me.
Right now,
what about you? What's the most interesting thing that's happened to you?
Oh shit, I wasn't prepared for that question at all. I shot seven down and then eight down today. That's probably it. Yeah.
That's you already told that story.
Okay, so I got to play with Kyle a few days ago for the first time, like a month. That was freaking awesome.
Bitch dog walking now. He's good for us.
I played my first Sunday morning tags with a local group that I've never played with. It's a huge group that plays every week, and it was like their year end match. It was random dubs, and I got made a new friend and got paired up with a guy I usually get crushed by. I got to beat him, and so that was kind of fun. That was yesterday.
No, who's your new friend?
I was the best man in a wedding on Thursday. That was pretty interesting.
Hey, G-Money. Was Kyle at that wedding?
Kyle was there. Me and Kyle hung out probably the most we've hung out in a year at the wedding. And it was great.
Yeah.
I think really,
like you're right.
He helped me have a great night. And it was fantastic and really happy.
Did he show you the rainbow picture?
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, I mean, I took one too. So he probably took one. Wait, everybody there did. They're like,
everybody
took one. They basically, somebody came inside and said, everybody stop eating and go outside. There's a rainbow. Take the picture. So everybody ran outside.
That's exactly how it happened too.
Yeah.
And so, but yeah, no, that was like fucking incredible, dude. Like, who has a rainbow on their fucking wedding day?
Yeah, so he did. That's for sure. He almost
it rained and snowed on my wedding day.
Incredible. I don't remember my wedding day. I was on the beach. We were told we're going to have a nice, quiet wedding on the beach. So we walk down to the beach, to the water, with like the officiant and our two kids that were with us. And because we were doing this blended, our kids were 8 and 10. So we became this great family on the beach with like 10 people were supposed to be there. And we walked out and he's like, do you? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. As soon as I kissed her, 10,000 people on their balconies and all the condos all along Gulf Shores were like, yay. And I'm like, none of you guys were invited. Didn't get one gift from anyone. I don't know what's happening. You guys are all celebrating. Like, you know, I'm registered at Fly Green, guys. Anything you want
to
get.
Did they like that idea? Because I figure that's a really good idea to have a registry at Fly Green.
At a disc golf store. I told Garrett that's where I thought his registry was. He had a whole box of Halo coming. He was pretty excited. And his wife was like, I hope that's not true. And I'm like, it's not. But he was like, it should have been. It should have been true. He was pretty happy about it.
Like, if there's one time in my life.
What are you for me?
Say that again.
Yeah, that was all garbled.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, but you should have got it anyway.
Ah. Yeah, it should have, but he did it, and it's over now, so it's too late.
Too late.
Can't get any more Halo.
Never again.
Yeah. So tomorrow.
Well, that sounds like a pretty eventful week.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just been. We could spill the whole podcast. I could just go back and talk about the last 45 days and all the time will be used up. We'll be done. So busy. It's like, what's happening? Some days I just look around like, what's happening? Here, I have something to talk about. Right now, at this time, what is your absolute most favorite disc in your bag?
KC Pro Rock.
Ooh, a KC for $3.
Nice. Those are nice and soft.
Like, let's talk for a minute. I'm going to show you mine.
Hang on. Weighed 180 at one point and probably weighed close to like 172 with how many little chunks and things are out of it. And it's just so easy to throw.
Nice and flippy, right?
Just dead straight. Just like, I mean, like, you know, flip up on hyzer.
Yeah,
straight.
That's what I mean. Like, it's, I don't know.
But so, like, there's no fade left, no fade right.
I have a new friend named Tommy who has been in the disc golf community for a long, long time. And
Tommy.
I went back to his apartment to see his disc collection. So he pulls out this big-ass Sterlite, you know, those big ones. And I was like, okay. And then he pulled out like 7 more. And he's got like all of the stuff from 15 and 20 years ago. Like, so I've been trying to find a stable mid that I can have as my stable and overstable mid. You know, I've done the Truth forever and just all of the 5502s and just everything there is, buzzes, and just haven't been able to find the one that gives me the most distance with that fade at the end, because I have a meteor I throw dead straight and a fuse that's a little anti, and I'm looking for the opposite. So this guy Tommy throws rock threes. I've never thrown a rock or rock three, and in his house we're going through these discs, and there was one in a clear plastic bag, brand new. That's this one here. It's a first run rainbow stamp. It's from 2012 champion rock three. Yeah. And so he gave me the bro discount, and so I left with this. And it's kind of like when you are in love with the EMAC Truth so much, like that's the only thing you need ever. It's that's how I kind of feel about this thing. It just does everything. You can turn it over or throw it straight with whatever. And
well, if you haven't heard, I'm off the EMAC Truth now.
Yeah, I've heard that. I was talking to Kyle. Yeah. And he's like, yeah. So what are you using instead?
Rock and rock for you.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah.
As far as champion ones, I like the four buys, like the four times and the three times for Paul Macbeth. Those ones are pretty straight with just that little bit of fade at the end. And
what's the most understable one? Or do you just throw a regular rock?
Yeah, I usually go to like, I got a couple like base plastic. Yeah,
just DX. Everybody throws that base plastic rock. Nobody, there's anybody throwing a champion rock or any of that, or?
I have a few.
The base stuff's flippier, right?
Yeah, the base stuff's flippier, and it's kind of grippier for me. And I prefer it for my understable, but
I may do that too. I'm just really searching for the perfect straight.
If I needed to, that my three times one, I can kind of turn over on a little bit of ante. It's quite a lot more beat in than my four times. My four times is almost brand new. The three times is.
Tommy said with this plastic from 2012 that it'll take me 3 years of throwing it into trees before it starts beating in. Like it's going to do what it's doing right now for a long, long time. So
that's why I buy used it. It's just in there already beat in for me. And I don't
get the time. Man, dude, I wanted a new Wraith. I wanted a bright orange 171 gram star Wraith. So I call the store. He says, I've got 169 gram orange one. I'm like, fine, I'll take it. I drive over, I buy it. And then he says, hey, I've got this other one here. It's 171 gram Wraith. But it's like pro plastic. It's old. It's really beat up. And he's like, here, you can have it. And I'm like, why didn't you give me this a minute ago before I bought this one? And he said, because I have a store. But here, you can have it anyway. So it's awesome. So the both of those Wraiths are now the leading, like, drivers in the bag, like, because the blue, the pro plastic takes off. It looks like what does it look like, Kyle? It goes off and it goes like minus one and then one. Slides down like that.
There's not a lot of action to it.
Yeah, and just goes farthest thing I have in the bag. So pretty excited. The course today is dangerous. There's easy to lose your stuff off the side of almost every fairway. So I was very hesitant in throws. I don't know how I played well, because I was like, you don't throw it over there. A lot of times I look up and it was going out over the junk and I'm like, oh no. But somehow it managed to come back. And so I don't know. I like
a course where everything off the fairway was covered in thorns. Like, there's no matter where you threw it, if you're off the fairway, you're fighting.
Sounds so fun, dude. That's Kyle. Have you played there, Kyle? Sounds like fun.
What's it called? It was down in Howell. I don't remember the name of the course, but I wore shorts because it was a nice day. And
it's called Thornbriar.
Like, yeah, well, we were leaving like the restaurant. I was like looking up directions to it. And the first review is, oh, it's a nice course, but the rough covered in thorns. I'm like, no.
Oh, shit.
That's the worst. Yeah. How long are the holes? Were they like, you had to have like bomb it out into the thorns, or are they all short enough you could pick lines? And
no, they're all pretty short. It's just like real tight. Like, none of them are super, super long. I think there's maybe two or three par fours, but they're all like super just like tight fairways,
yeah,
and lots of like
so tight fairways and then thorns,
yeah, and lots of like hidden baskets. where it's not like hidden, but like it's kind of hard to to guess how far.
Gross. Hey, how many courses on your UDIS? How many courses have you played?
I just looked at it. Also, well, then the funny thing is, right after we played that course, we played another one. We decided to go to something called Hawthorne Park. I'm like, why are we doing this?
And the word thorn in it.
Right.
Played Thornbriar, Hawthorne Park, and then Needlethorns.
37 courses played. Nothing crazy.
That's because of where you live. So I have just passed my 2-year mark of playing, and yesterday was my 96th different course.
Dang.
There's a couple in Wyoming above us. I think 2 courses there, 2 of them right below us in New Mexico. That's 4. 1 in California is 5. 2 in Hawaii is 7. And there's 10 more in Alabama, so 17. So that's 80 courses in Colorado. And there's so many more we haven't got to play yet. So I got to drive across the country a few weeks ago, and I was in different cities. I'm like, I'd look up on UDIS where the nearest course was, and it would be like 97 miles away. I'm like, how could people, I guess people don't play disc golf.
Or you play a private sad course. Yeah. Like,
Well, no, like so just outside in El Paso, there's some courses, but in Las Cruces, New Mexico, which is like 40 miles north of there, there's 3 courses. One of them's on a military base. One of them a pop-up course that was a tournament. It's not a real course. And the other one is like at a church. It's 3 baskets in 9 holes or whatever. That's it. Like within an hour and a half. I'm like, oh man, so sad. I don't know. My heart just like, I get happy enough that I'm never going to live there, basically, is what happens.
I'm true.
Like, I can't. Just feel sad. Like, can you imagine if the nearest course was an hour and a half away and it was like 3 holes at a church, you know, like 3 baskets? That's like,
I'd just be playing in my backyard.
Yeah, I know. You'd have to, but imagine, what if you live in an apartment? Now we're getting real sad. We're saying, how sad can we get?
How sad can we be?
So move to the middle of New Mexico into an apartment so you have nowhere to set your basket up.
I bet, like, there's other countries that just like, just nothing.
Yeah, no. Guatemala got their first course.
Fuck.
Sweet.
That
their first real basket. They had a course for a while, but it was a homemade basket. And the way they counted as long as you hit the chains, because the bottom of the basket was a trash can lid, so it didn't hold anything.
Like the hold,
I love it. I would be so good at that. If you didn't have to make it into the
just hit chains.
I think I could shoot 18 down.
There it is.
You know, Kyle introduced me to many, disc golf. He brought his basket over. We had like great competitions, and then he found me a gem of a basket for like $1 or something at Goodwill. And so I have a great basket, a bunch of minis, and it's I think those chains don't hold very well either.
Oh, they don't.
It reminds me of our number one course in Denver, Village Green. The chains are exactly the same. They hold nothing. I threw a putt the other day into the center of the chains. It touched the pole and continued all the way through the outside of the other side of the basket. Like, I don't even know what to do here.
It's like,
and it wasn't sideways like the Millennium Falcon. It was a full on like flat putt that went, just went all the way through.
Ridiculous.
Creating a new basket.
There's a lot of new stuff. I was talking to my wife Jamie about something, and I thought it might be a good question. I haven't listened to all 100 of your podcasts, so some of the stuff I've missed, I may ask stuff that's already been answered. But the question was, how do you, as a disc golfer, as a new disc golfer, or as a disc golfer with a partner at home, how do you get your partner involved in disc golf if they're not playing? And so, you know, we talked about that for quite a while, and I was like, you got to give me some answers. I can't just ask that question.
I feel like it's a really difficult question.
And so she answered it because I asked her. I said, okay, well, I started and you got involved. So what are the things that you know, got you involved or what you would tell other people. But before I tell you those,
typically, like, okay, for like my thought process is like, Cody always just like whatever I'm super crazy interested in that at that time, she always tries to be interested in it as well, I guess. Like not like feigning interest as what like actual interest too. Like when I was really into the NFL and fantasy football, she got into it as well and was watching games with me and started her own team and like it was fun. She knew all the players and everything. Oh dude, it's such a good show. That's how Taco got named. Did I tell you that?
I did not know Taco was named after Taco from the league.
Yeah.
You did tell me that because I said something like, oh, it's a Chihuahua. And you're like, it's not because of he's
Mexican. Yeah, it's not racist. Like, I always throw that out there at the beginning because I don't want people to be like, oh, you just named him Taco because.
Okay, well, I had a Chihuahua for 15 years. His name was Carlito. And we talked to him like Carlito's name. Way. Yeah, he was really mean. He was the mean, like, gunslinger. Dude, he was mean. My God. He bit everyone. He bit me. I have a scar almost all the way around my finger where he was
rude.
I went to pick him up and he just decided he didn't want that. And he bit my finger. I lifted my arm up in the air. He's hanging off my finger. Ugh. And I'm like, what's dude, happening?
Come on.
I don't even. Okay.
But
so
yeah, no, Taco from the league. So, just because he's like so airheaded and stupid. So is Taco.
Right. So answer one, Cody just, your partner did it because she is just interested in the things you're interested in. And that's, I think I have the same, there's more answers, but I have the same thing. Jamie's always like, sure, let's just see what's going on. And she'll continue on with it if she likes it, or she'll be like, that's the
exactly.
Only time. That's fine. That's
that
good,
too.
Good for you.
Cause like, it's not always like she's into it too. Like Game of Thrones, watch the first episode. She's out. Nope. Right. Not sure. Having it.
Right. So you know, and that's fine. So,
yep.
The goal though is to get your partner playing and for us to come up with two or three ideas that people might go, oh, thanks for that idea. You know, let's try that. Mm-hmm. Jamie's first one, she said it was easier for her because she loves the outdoors and it has to, disc golf's played outside the whole time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, you could go to the putting practice, you know, barn in the winter, but the fact that she could get exercise and have sunlight and, that was a big like first thing of, you know, trying to get somebody to join you and like, let's just go to the park for a walk. We have great parks with disc golf courses here that are fun to just walk around if you're not playing.
You're sure.
She said also the reason she likes disc golf is because she's pretty frugal, very thrifty. It takes her a long time to make a purchase. We didn't have a trash can in our apartment for 2 weeks when we moved in because we had to find like the perfect trash can. And don't like, we start buying a new toaster when we get another one. We start looking for the next one because it's going to take that long to find a toaster. So she doesn't just throw money around, is the whole point. And so disc golf is like, okay, for the casual person, not the crazies, disc golf's very cheap. It's a driver, a mid, and a putter. And that's it. There's no more purchases. There's no more tournaments. It's just go to the park and play for free. And so she really liked that part of it because she has the same driver. She has a judge that's more like a warden. It's there's no bead. And she has a archangel, 160 gram archangel. And those are her, and you know the apps that have like the drawings of all your discs, you know, you can put them in and it'll show you like your pattern. So I was doing that and her dad did it and her brothers, and we were sending it all in a group text. And so she did hers and it looked like this. Let me show you. She took a post-it and she drew two lines, one long, one short. And under the short one, it said putter. And under the long one, it said driver. And like that's her two. You know, that's her flight characters. That's all she needs. Right.
This is what they do.
She throws the archangel on a flex that goes 200 feet every single time. And then she throws it up by the basket. And then the judge is the judge, you know, just does judge stuff.
So she's like, what, you from 2 years ago or a year ago?
Yeah, I've had the flex line at 200 feet.
Yeah.
I had a lot of 14-speed drivers. I had a lot of 14-speed.
Yeah, you need a Corvette to get 200.
I threw the Corvette yesterday. I'm like testing like all my I took every one of my high-speed drivers out to a field, AstroTurf field, football field, so I could see exactly to the number how far I was throwing everything and where it was in relation to the center line. Such a great thing. And so I took a Corvette. I took 5 destroyers. I took, I don't know, like 10 things out and just threw them back and forth about 10 times. And I came up with 2 fantastic ones. I have a 166-gram Star Destroyer, which comes back every time. So I can just throw it as far right as I want. And then I have the Calvin Heimberg Halo Destroyer for my forehand. And because it's got the big rim on it, it's very smooth. It comes off my finger really nice and goes about, you know, 285 feet, maybe 300 feet at the most. So, yeah, Eric, the last time I talked to you, I was throwing lefty and I was like poo-pooing forehand and all that. And that's crap. I was wrong. I take back everything I said.
Yeah, you were like, I'm never going to have to throw another forehand.
I love throwing turnovers.
Only be able to throw a lefty, and that's it.
I was talking about so immature 6 months ago.
And so, throwing turnovers are like some of the most fun part of the game. Exactly. Even if it's not easy, it's so fun.
I know. And I really throw everything inside of 200 feet forehand. And so, like, tomorrow I'm going to the park with a bunch of putters and mids to try to figure out a good 170-foot, you know, just standstill backhand because I'm flicking everything, and that's fine. But I want to throw backhand too. So
let's throw spike hyzers.
There's a couple other things before we leave, that getting your partner involved. One of the things that she told me is to make sure.
Oh yeah, totally. Sorry, I totally forgot about that.
This is how it goes. She said one of the things that's important is that the first time you take your partner to the course, don't take them to the hardest freaking thorn-ridden course in town. Take them to somewhere epic or beautiful or like least playable to make them excited, and then go to the thorn hill, you know. Another thing, and it was interesting because when I met her, I was a PGA golf professional instructor, and she was one of my students, and so the relationship was me telling her what to do basically for 3 months as her coach and teacher and nothing more. And then, and so now I'm still a coach and a teacher, that's what I do, but I have to relay the information to her when she asks for it, as opposed to me. There's some things when you're going to take your partner out to learn how to play, you've got to give some initial instruction on how to hold it and putt and stuff or whatever. But after that, she was like, the number one turnoff, I think, is your partner telling you what to do every shot the whole time, you know, just like, let's let me throw frisbees and have fun in the park. So just some basic, simple things to, you know, pick a good course, something easy, don't be a boss, and, you know, just enjoy the outside. I think it's a great family thing too. I mean, with kids, and it's just a great way to be outside. And for me, I love meeting people. I got to play random dubs for the first time yesterday ever. And I was like, by the third hole, I'm hugging my partner. And he's like a great, you know, we just loved each other because he's a great dude. And so being able to get out and meet people too, it's also a great way to like do a double date with another couple. Right,
what a great,
fantastic, you know. So lots of ways to get your partner involved, I think.
Yeah, that was quite a few different like ideas that you just threw out there. That was really good.
85% of those are from my smart partner, my wife Jamie.
She's great.
Let her pick out, or let your partner pick out their first dip. Like, take them to the store. And let them look through all
the
stuff.
Take that Corvette. Get that Corvette right now. It's got
or like a dragon or something fun.
It doesn't matter. Whatever they think is like the coolest. It
absolutely does not matter at all. The first disc. That's exactly what I did, Eric. Because
it's going to get lost.
When I went into Fly Green, they didn't realize the extent of the money they were going to be taking from me that first time I went in. And the owner, Mike, he's so knowledgeable about everything. He came over to me and said, "Hey, bud, can I help you find something?" I'm like, "No, I'm just looking around." You know, like you do when you go in a store. It's like, "Stop talking to me. Just let me, please leave me alone." And he goes, "Well, I can help you. Like, which way are you throwing it?" I'm like, "I just started. I'm throwing it everywhere. I'm throwing it behind me, sideways, both directions. There's nothing you can do for me right now. Just, I look, I want this dragon. I want this wizard. And I picked a Star Wars Buzz. It was like the 1974 like poster. So that's what I left with. I had a Star Wars Buzz, I had a wizard putter, and a dragon. It was perfect, you know? It didn't matter. I threw every one of them 75 feet on a spike. 75 feet on a spike hyzer, all three of them. It's just like, just,
that's good.
I still have all those discs. The dragon's great because it floats in water. And so I take it to anywhere that someone's going to make me play a water hole. You know, it works too.
Because I dumped it in. Have to play like
I played Optimus
Expo, or
no, I played Optimist in hole number 7. You got to throw over that stupid long lake.
It's very
I threw it into that lake, and it just sat on the water and floated over to the edge, and I went around.
Yeah, so what happens if you throw it into water, but it's just like so still, so now it's just floating.
So it did. It took a long, long time. It took a long time to get across the lake. If there's no wind,
oh, we'll come back around.
Yeah, you have to come. Yeah, it's like somebody's we'll gonna get it. Those. It's one of those things like you're going to get it, unlike the destroyer I lost at Rhyolite last week, where no one's ever going to ever get that.
It's gone. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think I love getting people involved. Pretty much, I have a friend coming on Thursday, they'll be here from Alabama with his wife. And I asked him last week, I said, you know, you're getting ready to become a disc golfer. And he's like, what's that? He's like, I'm fat and out of shape. I don't think I could do it. I'm like, can you walk around a park and throw a Frisbee? He's like, oh yeah. I'm like, you're a disc golfer. So you just don't know it yet.
Yeah. So disc golf is like made for the fat and out of shape.
He'll be, they're going to love it. It's going to be great. And that'll be just two more people that I'll take to Fly Green, and they'll spend money. I'm not going to go home with plastic. That's because I've given away all the plastic I can give away. I have no all my plastic. I'm hoarding it now. I want to keep it. stuff I'm never going to throw. The dragon. I have the dragon. It's beat up too. It's DX Dragon, and it was my first disc. And
oh wow,
you know, I threw it into a lot of stuff. I used to warm up for tournaments with it, throwing it against a chain link fence. That's how stupid I was. I threw my stuff against chain link fence just to warm up.
Got to beat it in somehow.
Yeah, I didn't know what I was doing. It. I had no idea I was beating it in. It's so flippy. When you throw it, it goes like this. It just turns all the way upside down. Just slides up. So I don't know what.
Just throw it like a thumber. Maybe you can get it to flip up and ride out.
That's a great idea. If I wouldn't have tore my shoulder throwing thumbers, I would still be throwing them. But I can't do it. I'm so scared. Whenever I have to throw over a tree, I'll just kind of like, toss my wrist like that. It's hard.
Scoobers.
What is, I know you've answered it, but answer it for me. The number, if you could play any course right now, what's your like bucket list number one course to go play?
That I've never played before?
Right.
Or
well, then we can go back and talk about one that you've played before too, but.
Never played before. Eric and mine are probably the same.
What is it?
Maplehead.
Yep.
That's
what I want. Yes, I don't play it so fucking badly.
There's a course on Disc Golf Valley I want to play so bad. It's not, you know. I threw a drive 1,700 feet yesterday off this cliff. And it's like you're throwing through like, it's like a dinosaur. It's like bones. Do you play Disc Golf Valley at all? Yeah.
You know,
the whole, it's like a downhill shot. It's like 600 feet, but it's like through like the skeleton of this. And I can't ever hit the line because it's going down to it. And then it like gets like this air bounce right at the bottom and it just goes another 700 feet out of bounds. Like,
oh yeah, that's pretty much what I always do.
That's my bucket list course. I want to play that course in real life. I feel like I could make four on that hole.
Looks pretty dangerous.
Yeah. lots of giant cliffs.
More of the new Eagle Crossing. I want to play that too.
Oh yeah, that sounds fantastic.
Yeah, because that one's like built just specifically for disc golf, like 100%. Like that's.
I'd really like to play that course they play in Vegas. You know, on the ball golf course. Is that like the first tournament of the year or something? Or
you know, nope, I could never play that, and I'd be happy.
Too much water.
Yeah. It's just like just wide open. Yeah. Eric, we dude, stop it. We both yeah, it's wide open. It's really just a Heiser Fest if you I really play for
anyone if I Eric does to. Eric does not like wide open courses then, right?
I mean, no. there's when you were talking about just like bucket list no. courses.
Okay, sure.
Probably need some trees.
What about the Beast?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although before the Beast, I would rather play Hornsmith. I'm not a big fan of Hornsmith.
Yeah.
You know, they have on the sides of the fairways, there's hornets just waiting.
That's why it's called Hornsmith.
Yes. Yeah, they're all over the rough. It's just, the whole all rough's all hornets' nests. The hornets know not to come in the fairway, but if you throw your stuff at the rough, you're like, right. You're on your own.
The,
yeah.
The whole course is what's like rough. I'm sad they're not playing. They're not playing the Pro Tour at Hornets Nest this year,
dude. They're not playing any Pro Tour events anywhere near us next year. There's like three in California, and then everything else is on the eastern half of the United States. There's nothing.
Gross.
Yo, yeah. There's one in Canada. That's kind of cool.
Okay, yeah, there is.
Are there any good Silver Series around here? There's just 303.
I don't know. I mean, hopefully we'll have new tours. It can't just be one tour anymore. I mean, it's just like every other sport has minor leagues. And we need a secondary group of
and there's
players.
Quite a few. There's like this other national tour. That's a pretty big thing. Can't remember the other one.
What we need is we need them televised or recorded so that we can know all the players so we care enough to go see them locally. Right? Because you're not going to just go to a tournament locally if you don't know anybody.
You're going and following random cards whenever.
It's like, why are you just not? You should have just signed up for the tournament if you're going to go do that. Just go play.
No, I mean, that's how you get to know people. You just, oh, that's not watching disc golf, man.
Yeah, you're like, dude, you'll go up to him after. It's like, I've been following you around for so long. People are like, can we be friends? okay. Sure.
Just go and like always be in the middle of the fairway on accident when they get ready to throw.
That's it. So how about the youngster?
Just like park your car.
Mr. Gannon Burr. And his...
He looks like Gumby. You know, like the clay doll.
Gumby. He's long and lanky, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Did you see us? I saw a cool Facebook video, must have been this morning. It was Gannon playing that course when he was like 8 or something.
Yeah.
So had him like, you know, just like ripping shots. It's like, looks exactly the same, you know, like same throw almost. So
you're right.
It's kind of cool. His follow through. And, you
know, his body shape is like the same as like, I would say like Casey White. That's my closest.
Brady Topping.
He's like Skeletor. Lanky. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. Just, you know, and when you have that wingspan, it's so good if you decide to play a sport that, you know, allows wingspan to be a huge advantage. Because, you know, you got a lot more RPMs with another foot, you know, on either side.
Right.
Big old hands, you know, as big as the disc, you know, the hands like spinning 360 degrees before it leaves. It's fantastic.
No, what I was excited for him, I kind of wanted Nicholas Ancelotto to win more because I like this mania stuff and his new CDs are so good.
Katrina Allen, right? She won the girls.
Yep. She played good pretty much all day or all week too.
Yeah, Kristen tried to catch her, I think. I mean, yep, she was like 13 back or something going into the final round and got to within 2 or 3 or something. It's crazy.
What about that Paige Shuey? That is the story of the... Did you see that?
No, talk about it. Talk about it.
Hole 17, backhand 8. That's it.
That's sick.
You know, hole 17. Or I think I would assume you know what hole 17 is.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, they put it on SportsCenter and they said 249 yards, 8.
I'm like, 249 yards?
Yeah. Well, not quite.
747 feet.
Yeah.
So that's number 15 at the West Creek. She aced it. So she should be. She needs to be played up if she could throw it 750 feet. She's in the.
How do they watch it and like only see the disc in the air for, you know, like the little amount of time and like, oh yeah, that definitely flew 740 feet.
Just went really fast.
I saw another, you know, you talk about yards. I saw another kind of blunder where, I don't know if it was Joe Rogan or some show, and he had a guest on there, and the guest was something like, oh, I love disc golf, started playing. And then Joe or whoever was asking questions like, how much do they weigh? And he was like, it's like 170 ounces. And Joe was like, he's like, wait a minute. He's like, that's 11 pounds. How far can you throw it? He's like, are you sure it's ounces? And he's like, I'm sure. So anyway, I don't know.
It's kind of all right. Well, now we have to make, you know, probably 170 ounce disc. That's my new goal.
Can you imagine how much more dangerous this golf would be if this really weighed
10 pounds?
Oh, shit, dude. That'd be fucking dangerous.
So, well, no, you'd have everything would have to be designated disc golf courses. You wouldn't be doing it in the park anymore.
You do it in the park until you kill one person.
You're killing old people. You're killing dogs. You're killing other disc golfers. Yeah. It's like four... Too late.
Just like wedged into trees, like literally just like and just stuck in the tree.
No, yeah, I want you to think about this. What are they made out of? Because it's not plastic.
I don't know.
It's gonna be like a saw blade, right? It's gonna be like,
yeah.
You know, okay, like, yeah. Well, all right, we'll just throw saw blades, guys.
You use the real jagged like concrete blades to putt with, and then you use like the thinner, like slicey
like
ones,
the
to
diamond tip yeah, yeah. guys yeah, for yeah. your really yeah, tough okay. shots.
I think the what are the gloves you wear? Those have become much more needed, but like Kevlar.
Yeah,
yeah. The friction gloves.
Yeah, friction gloves.
Yeah, you're gonna have to use something like welding gloves or something. Yeah. I don't know.
I'm into it.
Yeah.
It could be like, you know, the friction gloves 3.0 or something.
What's yeah. if the discs were on fire when you threw them?
Well, they're going to be plastic either.
Oh, yeah.
No, they're
well,
just, already, no, they're going to be metal. They're going to be metal.
It could just be really bad for the environment.
You only get one throw. So you light your disc on fire on the tee box. You hold it for a while, and then you throw it. And wherever it lands, that's it. It's the end of that disc. It's just
that's like, a really good idea. Every single listener, do that, night, please.
At night, you could do it. That way, you wouldn't lose your disc.
Except you would.
Yeah, because yeah. It would,
and then instead of baskets, you just have like a pyre of like logs that are on fire. So you throw whatever. So it's like an object course. Yeah.
Okay.
You're still recording. Is this actually? People are going to be listening to this. Is that right?
Absolutely.
So then you have to bring like as many discs as you're gonna throw, right? And then once you run out of discs, that's when it's over, and whoever lasts the longest.
That's it. Okay. Everybody gets to bring 50 discs.
Yeah, it's an elimination.
50 throws. That's it.
Yeah.
And then whoever's furthest around on the course on the 50th throw. That's just another game to help the long throwers win.
Yeah. And then if there's a tie, you guys like fight to the death with horses or something?
Ooh, fight to the death. Now we're talking. So where does this happen on the 18th?
Nobody brought any more discs.
If it's on the 18th, oh yeah, it's a tie. So the first two guys, if they run out at the same time, if they're on the same card, one of them has to kill each other until they move on.
This sounds like a whole lot more profitable for Fly Green.
It's called a scar frame.
Disc golf store.
Yeah.
Actually, you don't kill the other person. You just slice them with one of the discs, and it's called a scar frame.
Or you could like slice them with our, you know, we're going to use like a disc hacksaw, right? Or whatever.
Oh,
it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, this diamond blade.
Yeah.
I like it. I think.
I think that's a good idea. We should go back to that.
I think people at home are like, this has got to be over soon. I mean, they're
all right,
they're
yeah, okay. Well, we should probably do like dead air real quick and just kind of introduce ourselves. I'll put it back at the beginning, maybe. Probably not though.
What kind of introduction are you looking for? Like
this, not like an introduction, because we really haven't been structuring our show in any way. So this is my dad. Welcome, Scott Smith.
Close. Who's Scott Smith?
I mean, it's I your it's I know. It's okay, what it's what I always other... it's what yeah, well, no one calls you Scott, but I well, know.
So the people that I Zoom with or my guitar students from
years past. So they don't know you as Will.
And so Zoom just says, yeah, they don't know me as Will. I mean, okay. Some of them do, but
most well,
of
them then I'll just not. Do it again, but I'm probably just going to leave us all in. Say that my again. Dad, Will Smith.
Hello there, Will Smith. That's Will with one L, and it's a capital L. That's WI capital L Smith.
To all the podcast people, you know, you could just like pretend to be the, you know, famous one.
What separates me from the other Will Smith that, you know, and I
guess
have my own foibles that he doesn't want to be connected to. So this is to keep him safe that I go by.
Have you slapped Chris Rock?
If I could.
If you could.
It depends. It depends on the scenario. If he asked me to do it, for say $285, I would do it for sure.
That's pretty good. That's not too much.
No,
that's nothing for him.
I wouldn't do it. I'm scared. I mean, how many Will Smiths can slap Chris Rock before the name really just goes sour? So
probably just the one.
One of us just has to keep it, you know.
All right. I'm Kyle.
I'm Eric.
I'm Will.
And this is the show that we
take two.
This is the show that we do, and it's pretty great. So, hope you enjoy it.
Dun, 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 dun,
yeah, it's gonna be you playing too.
Oh yeah,
I'm like playing. So that'll be fun.
Sweet, awesome, man.
Fuck yeah. Thank you for your time, Eric.
Thank you, Eric. Thanks for being here, man. Thanks, Eric, for letting me.
Look sleepy.
I know I didn't have a bunch of great stuff, but it's nice to see my friends and, you know, get to talk about this.
I didn't know our conversation. I didn't realize we were done.
Okay, let's keep talking.
Well, you just keep talking if you. I mean, no. It is getting
so. How about those giants?
I'm tired as fuck.
How about those giants?
Fuck the giants.
I don't know about them.
I was just talking about the hockey team.
Oh,
it's some minor league hockey team, the Giants.
All just, right,
yeah,
right.
Picked them up off the waiver wire.
Let's go Lions. I'm just kidding. They're fucking terrible still. Just continuously.
There it is.
Ew.
It's my team.
Ew.
They're pretty good.
They're B minus.
B minus?
Yeah.
Who was it?
Miami Dolphins.
Oh.
I think they're okay now this year. I mean, I liked the whole like cocaine scandal a few years ago. That was a lot of fun. But
Miami, dude. It was like when the police pulled Willie Nelson over, and like a cloud of smoke came out of his window. And they said, "Are you smoking pot?" And he said, "I'm Willie fucking Nelson." And that was it. And like, I don't know if they gave him a ticket or not, but it's like.
And that's just like every
course, if you're in Miami, there's going to be cocaine
in Miami.
Yeah.
Every male in Miami does cocaine, yeah. You heard it here, folks. Post Oh No podcast. Breaking news.
Breaking Miami news.
Miami has cocaine.
Miami has cocaine in this.
All right. Well, I'm going to take off.
All right. Love you, bud.
Good to see you, man. I'll talk to you soon, buddy.
Talk to you soon.
Bye. Bye, buddy. Hope you find your dad.
He's gone. Now we can just take over the show.
Hope you find your dad.
All right. Well, that was fun.
Thank you, man. It was. It was, I've had, you know, the disc golf was good today, but I've kind of was in a just crappy place and I'm in a great place now. Thank you.
Cool. Yeah. Same. Like, I was just kind of in a junky mood and just tired. And as soon as I started talking to you, it's like, fuck, I'm in a little bit better mood already.
Yeah. We don't, it's important.
It is, man. It's hard to do. I appreciate
it.
You.
Like, we did it because we scheduled it and we had to do it. But yep. It would have been easy just to have been like, eh, I don't feel like doing nothing.
You know it. Dude, but that's like, at this point with the show, it's like, we got to do it. Like, when we schedule things, it's like, nope, we're right. We're doing it.
Okay.
But yeah, all right. Love you, bud. Right, I'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah, so.
Either, what are you saying, Rhyolite, or we go into the
secret place first, and then we'll head down to Rhyolite from there. Or if you can't go to Rhyolite, I just, Mark's I'll not going to be a rope.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how I'm feeling.
Yeah, we'll just do the 9-hole. It'll be fine. Oh, that's right. I forgot. It's because you're sick. You should be able to do it at 11:30. If we play, yeah. Let's say 11, whatever. I'll call you in the morning. And we'll
sounds good.
Sometime between 11 and 11:30. Unless you're sick.
Yeah. All right. See you then. Buddy. Love you.
Peace.
Have a good sleep.